Hello, everybody. Welcome inside After Hours Sports. My name is Brandon Rosenthal, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Eric Garcia and Social Mike. Gentlemen, what's happening?
What up?
Hey, what up, man? How's it going?
Oh, we're back, man. It's feeling good. I feel like the world is kind of back in place. Since the last time we met, I had a baby. So now I'm at baby number two.
Congrats.
Thank you, man. Thank you officially. I know, right? On the air. So now it's official. Congratulations. But, yeah. You know, now that kind of things are a little bit more settled, I figured it's a good time to chat. And things are going to be a little bit different for today's show. Instead of having just a kind of designated slot or topics we're going to talk about, each one of us is going to bring a topic to the conversation today. So Eric's going to talk about something, Mike, and myself. I think we kind of know what we're going to talk about, but we really don't know at the moment. So, you know, if we, you know, we were kind of texting, but if somebody changed their mind and want to bring up something totally different, and we're going to chat about that. And then we're also at the end of the show, hopefully, if I remember, somebody please remind me, we're going to try and do a what you're watching, because what you're watching, man, because I've been watching a lot of dope shit and I want to talk about it. So I'm sure you guys have too, you know, like it's been a minute and literally COVID's still kind of there. So a lot of people are still watching stuff and really not going out. So, and it's not like the Lakers have been giving us a lot of content to watch and talk about. So let's go right to Mike, man. So let's start the show. Yes, Mike, what you got for us, the fans, the audience, what you got today?
So, you know, we were going to record, you know, before, and like you said, you congrats, you had your second.
Your
second.
My bad, yo.
No. I'm just saying, like, we have.
Of course, you know how it goes.
We had started talking about it, and we have. So my question was to you guys. This is this was after the NFC Championship game when we were talking about this, and my question to you guys as Niner fans was going to be, who had the better run? Postseason wise, both of them had the same record. Got to the same games. Colin Kaepernick or Jimmy G? Whose run did you, as a Niner fan, which run did you enjoy more, or did you like more?
Eric, well, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll answer just by one thing, because I thought about why would I like one more than the, you know, I'm asking myself what's going to be the difference maker for here, because I like both runs, right? It's right. I'm going to definitely go with the Cap one, simply because I definitely felt like we could have won the Super Bowl this year. Cap's team, mm-hmm. I felt like we were going to win. You know what I mean? Like, it was like that run was like, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We're the squad. That's a different vibe for me. So that's definitely a whole I was trying to explain this, Eric. I really like this team. I really like that we kept getting better. I like the potential in this Niner team. I do think we have a pretty nice window, and, you know, windows shut close on you really, really fast.
But still,
I do like this current team for, you know, at least 2 years, you know what I mean? Three. But that team was solid. And obviously they didn't get it done just like this one. But I felt like that one was a better team. Just, at least confidence-wise, like most of the Niner fan base, I felt like was on the same vibe. I think we were so arrogant with that team. We are with this one too, but I think that one was, we felt like we knew we had the best team in the league. You know, we didn't close it out.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you, B?
I agree with you, but for different reasons, right? Like, I agree that, you know, this kind of this Super Bowl, we didn't even get to the Super Bowl this year. So it's not like, you know, but we did recently with Jimmy, and, you know, we had a really good opportunity to win that game. I will say that the Harbaugh team, you know, when it came to Alex Smith, we had a weakness in that team, which was, if you want to call Alex Smith a weakness, right? And then he actually improved his career to become this, like, I guess, game manager extreme, you know, like whatever you would call him, like senior game manager. Like, he was a phenomenal at not turning the ball over, moving the foot, you know, but then when Mahomes took over, you know, he won a Super Bowl. So clearly Alex had a ceiling, but we were like, this team's weakness is we need to, if there's a quarterback who can throw deep and run, like, this team is going to win a championship. And then Kaepernick brought that. And it was like, with the team they already had with Kaepernick, I'm like, that team should have won at least two Super Bowls. You know, that team to me was a better team. They had better talent, and like Eric said, like it's a shame that both teams didn't win Super Bowls, but that one, to me, if those two teams met, that teams would kick their ass. This current one, I think, they just maul them, like offensive line. I think the Kaepernick's team would beat this team. That's what I mean. Like, and also, like, I can't hate him, my dude, Frank the Tank, baby. Come on now, right. Hall of Famer, first ballot, number four all time in rushing yards. Right? Is that right, Eric?
Yeah. And to go back on what you said about the Niners, Kaepernick giving them that extra edge, is why I understand why so many of us Niner fans are like, Trey Lance could be that one to have that run. You know what I mean? Where it's like, right. I get it, he's fresh, he's young, but at the same time, Cap's best seasons, he was not. How can I tell you? Like, Cap never got a chance to be a full season veteran in the league. Mm-hmm. He almost like had a run. And then it almost feels like people fell off on him. And then, of course, there was, you know, his political side of it stuff. And I mean, obviously not political. It's basically his common sense statements that he's making over here. But, you know, that was that part of his career, right? But what I mean is, as far as just football-wise, you know what I mean? He was never back-to-back guys that you were like, damn, Kaepernick's a certified. And I don't mean from us Niner fans, because for me, he was definitely. You know what I mean? Especially when he was at his peak. But what I mean is, overall in the league, right, from the outsiders looking in, Kaepernick never got himself to establish himself like a full starter. And so, to me, that's the reason why I bring that up, is simply to say, it's not like Trey Lance has to live up to some guy that was like a 12-year bet or even a 4 or 5-year solid bet in the league. You know what I mean? He's kind of trying to have a run like a guy that had to run himself. You know what I mean?
No, for real. Like, it's just, he's just trying to pop in there and be like a plug and play guy. Like, oh, Jimmy couldn't move with the pocket. I can. Jimmy couldn't throw deep. I can. Jimmy makes 3 dumb throws a game. I can 100% do that too. You know, like,
because the run game's going to take care of itself. Kittle's going to take care of himself. Theoretically, Kyle Shanahan's still calling plays, right? What about you, Mike? Who do you feel one of these teams?
And then so, I have a follow up question for you, Mike.
Okay, this was interesting, right? Because the same, like, you guys, like, we were talking about, right? It's kind of
– but we're also old. You know that, right? And that was a team that was more in our youth, too. So let's be fair, too. Let's at least throw that out. Let's at least be honest.
So
I guess Are you trying to say I'm romanticizing things, Eric?
Yeah. So this was an interesting question because, again, like, I mentioned when I asked the question, their postseason games – in a Niner uniform are exactly the same.
Exactly.
Right.
That's so crazy. Dubs wise, right? Yeah.
Trip out. So when you break it down, they got the same record. Like I said, same amount of success in that window. Right. But yeah, to me, I'm going to agree with you guys calling the Kaepernick era. And for me, it was more like, cause I've mentioned it around amongst like other friends as well. Just kind of conversation wise. And like, even like, I don't know if you guys recall, but when Cap hit the scene, like it was the wow factor, right?
Yeah, like, look, that's what I'm saying.
He hit the scene. He was fucking running. Excuse me. He was running like crazy. He was running crazy out there.
And Mike, you remember this was like right after RG3 too. So it was just like, oh man, this dude's RG3, but actually good.
It was also right after Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's the main point.
Right. So, but you know, with the running quarterback thing, RG3 was...
No, of course, I get you.
And that running dynamic, man, that was crazy. Because we have never had that, right?
No, like, never. Niner,
we've always had the successful quarterbacks for us have been pocket passers. Steve Young, I guess, was a runner. He was the
only guy in our history that was like that. If you can maybe count Garcia,
Garcia as well, he was a good runner. But it wasn't like... That wasn't part of their game. That's something that the defense weren't really accounting for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or game planning around. Like, hey, we got to just always remember that this guy can run for like a first down. Like, Cap was running for 80. Like, you know, Cap was breaking it.
That gone. Green Bay game.
Yeah.
He broke them, dog. He broke them.
That was Rodgers, right? Still. I mean, like, that's how long Rodgers has been playing, right? We're talking about Kaepernick, who's now like, he has his own Netflix series and Aaron Rodgers is still playing and growing that disgusting hair. And it's like, he broke it. No matter what, no matter what happens in Green Bay, that game exists. Mm-hmm. T.O. catch exists. And mm-hmm. it's just the San Francisco
and Robbie Gold. And Robbie Gold exists.
And we own. And it's like, we own you, man. Like, we own your franchise. And even if we can't win a championship, we know that you can't win a championship.
and I'll tell you this. I think we want to piggyback on the Mike's question. One thing that's correct, the reason why we said even the Alex Smith compared to the Kaepernick, compared to the Jimmy G, and I'm trying to throw Jimmy Trey G. Lance in the mix now, right? The reason why we're having this debate, I think the reason why we're wording it the way Mike worded it, it's my opinion, is because it feels like we're kind of like the quarterback was the one that was like, what happened during his time? Because he kind of wasn't still, he didn't get it done. Right. So in reality, right, like we're comparing the Jimmy G era to the Kaepernick era. But I think when we were watching those games, and correct me if I'm wrong, we never at all looked at that like Kaepernick's team. And I don't think we really looked like this. That's Jimmy's team. Maybe even more Jimmy's team than it was Cap, because that team was, you know, everybody else's team, you know, Pat, Frank, everybody else, but Navarro, right? And I don't mean
everybody.
And I don't mean to diss him. I mean to just the pecking order of the veterans that were there in that, you know, because Alex Smith already had a run with those guys, right? So it's not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But what I mean is, as far as why they were kind of ahead on Kaepernick as far as the seniority on the team, right? Obviously, the quarterback still automatically gets a bump just because he's the cat running the show, right? But what I mean is, we were. Just like we're doing with Jimmy G, I think we're saying this is the guy we're hitching our fucking wagon to. But, you know, maybe I'm being just more because of the way I looked at it, but that definitely was more the other guys on the team for a lot of the stuff, right? I mean, even like Brandon brought it, the Harbaugh, their whole, I like the fact that him and Shanahan are two completely different styles as me as far as coaching. But they both brought something out of these guys, especially the quarterback, that's awesome to see. You know what I mean? And with Alex Smith, yeah. It was just dope to see whatever happened in his career. Obviously, it's done or whatever, but it's I like that he got to show at least he can look back at his career and say, I was able to prove that I definitely was a guy that was a solid starter in the league. I was able to, you know, prove myself. I was able to be a part of, you know, a team that got to the Super Bowl. Even though, you know, whatever happened with him, still, right? He had a nice little run, and dope to fucking see for him. But you know, again, these are guys that were connecting because they didn't win it. Let's hope Trey Lance changes things, right?
And you know, I will say that it seems like, you know, whereas Cap's career ended, Jimmy has a chance to rewrite his career and have more.
There's a second, yeah, second.
Yeah, he's gonna. We know he's gonna play for another team. We know that Cap is not, and you know,
and that's what sucks about the Cap
situation. It is, and you know, in this situation here, one is a white man, you know, white dude, and you know, obviously Cap is a black dude, and it's like it just adds fuel to the fire of the long discussed debate in the NFL. But you know, I don't think it has anything to do with you know, obviously the comparison just happens to be that, but it's pretty crazy that their careers are very similar as Niners. And they,
yeah.
You know, and even the, you know, the ceiling is the same, whereas get to the Super Bowl have a lead in a Super Bowl. Or actually, we never led the Super Bowl Cap was in. We just were at the fucking goal line and made four of the worst play calls in, well, at least since a Super Bowl that I fucking watched. I mean, like I did watch Sean McVay call Super Bowl games. So like, that's always the back of my mind. Like, I can't believe that guy beat us, but yeah, not exactly the way two disappointing outcomes. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the reason why, again, like it was something that in my mind, I was like, damn, because these are the two quarterbacks that have given us our Super Bowl L's. Two that didn't get it done, that showed up and didn't get it done. So that's why I'm like, damn. Like, I know the result was the same. They both lost. But, like, whose run? Like, that's what I said. Whose run was, like, I mean, like you guys said, of course, we enjoyed both because we got to, you know, took us to the Super Bowl. And, you know, we played in two NFC championship games, right? One we won, one we lost.
Right.
Kev's special, man.
Kev's was special.
It felt special. If you ask me now, obviously. I would rather have a Cap jersey than a Jimmy G jersey, and I, you know what I mean, like that's facts. And I don't even like jerseys like that. But
I got a Cap jersey, and I didn't get a Jimmy G jersey.
So go Trip Out, right? I was going to say, Trip Out, of course, I you know, went and looked at the numbers. So in the postseason, right, both played 6 games, 4-2. Kaepernick, listen to the stats. Kaepernick had 1,374 passing yards in those 6 games, 58% completion, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 507 rushing yards, and 4 rushing touchdowns.
Beastly. 500 right? rushing yards.
500 rushing yards. Yeah, that's fucking right. So then that's now insane. listen to Jimmy G, right? 6 games, 4-2. 962 passing yards, 60% completion percentage, four touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 6 rushing yards, 0 TDs. You know what I'm
saying? So not only is the rushing yards like a completely like a whole nother ball game,
a zero. No, it's a zero. Jimmy's at a zero.
But on top of that is the ratio as far as touchdowns to interceptions. On top of that. And honestly, as far as just to look at it, like the math to compute which team would be better in the playoffs or to win, on top of adding how we're saying that Kaepernick gave you those extra things, that defense to me still was better than the one we had right now, even though this was one of the greatest
this
things
great.
I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is
so
a great defense.
On top
that
of that,
that Patrick
that's
Willis
what I mean.
Navarro,
like, that was a team that had to win. So props to these motherfuckers for –
Alden Smith, Justin Smith. Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, oh, my God, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why you can't hate on the teams that are eliminated. I could hate you, but I can't hate on you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you knock that team off his perch and you got it, you really – damn, because that team was dope as fuck. And Cap was awesome as hell. And he – I think he hit us all like, God damn, he just straight up came in and just – he was dope. And it was, like I said, maybe it was a bigger – hope. I don't know. It was a way – I think it was a bigger contrast than we're going to see from Trey to Jimmy, even though who knows
to
yet.
Jimmy.
Because then Alex to fucking your Cap. I think Alex and Cap was completely another world. Like, now you can't compare those two guys at all.
Was there any stat right there, obviously, I mean, aside from the fucking rushing, that was surprising?
To me, honestly, because maybe, like, I romanticized it more than I should have. I honestly thought – I didn't think Cap had as many interceptions as he had in that run. You know what I mean? I thought the ratio – even though it was still a plus, I thought it would be a little better. But with Jimmy, I mean, that's where it's at, right? I assumed he threw a shitload of interceptions. Yeah. I mean, that's just what – and I assumed he didn't throw enough touchdowns. That's the story of Jimmy G, right? I mean, no matter how much, like I said, we backed him, of course. He's part of a guy in a run where he's a guy we're rolling with. But, I mean, fuck, this is the Jimmy G story.
To me, what was the trip is how much more passing yards Cap had than Jimmy. And that goes back to goes back to the things that we were talking about Alex Smith. Like, Jimmy was more of a game, kind of the Alex Smith role, more of a game manager with the type of football that we play, right?
The rushing, like, also does that. Like, the fact that you're running that much, you're going to be able to throw. That's the thing that it's like, but Trey's going to be able to bond some shit just simply because he's going to be able to run for fucking 26.
So I guess what I mean is, like, would you, if I just said, hey, who do you think had more passing yards? Who has more passing yards in the playoffs? Jimmy G or Cap? Would you have said Cap? Like, I guess that's my question. Would you have thought it would be Cap?
I still would have, I think, because I looked at Cap like more of a complete package.
Yeah, I think so. I think Cap had a few more big games, you know, like,
oh yeah,
I know he had like the 2 touchdown, 2 pick games. He had a lot of those, but I think Cap had more big games where Jimmy like tops out. Games. Like, if you told me Jimmy G threw for 325, I'd be like, oh, I'd be like, damn. Okay. But I know Cap's best game was like 4 something. And like, so yeah, the yards were there.
And Cap was more limited, but he also wasn't as he was limited probably as far as skill wise, but he wasn't as game manager as Jimmy G. You get what I mean?
Yeah. The ceiling is much higher for Colin.
I think Cap was just out there letting that bitch go. You get what I mean? That's what makes it worse for a guy like Jimmy, you know, and Oliver. I think that's the problem with a guy like Jimmy.
Yeah.
You can't be both. You can't be a game manager that throws a lot of interceptions, bro. That just doesn't make any sense. That does the one word.
You're managing the game for the wrong team, bro.
You're managing to get our ass kicked. Like, that's what you're managing. You're managing an exit. And, you know, we had enough. And look, it was a great run. And,
For that.
And look, whoever we always do this all the time. We say this because we're very opinionative here, especially when it comes to our team and all that kind of shit. So, you know, we talk the shit, we say what we say, but once the opposite of what we say happens, we obviously hope we're absolutely wrong, right? So, if Jimmy stays for whatever, you see some report, Jimmy might not go. I'll tell you this, guys, because I know that's not where we're going to go, and I'm going to switch it up because I know I can go ahead and extend this when we should be cutting this segment off already. I'll tell you this, guys. Already, let Trey Lance get his chance. Let Kyle Shanahan get a crack at the guy that he wants with the guy he drafted. In my opinion, I don't stop prolonging this with all this other shit. Jimmy does agreed. Not only because we don't get, you know, people say we thought we were going to get a first. No. You start listening to all that stupid buzz from media. If you get a fourth or third for Jimmy, that's what you get for Jim.
Yep, you trade him now. You trade him. This is the offseason. So like,
is that or zero? Is that or is nothing?
You there's cut no him like, or just cut him? Yeah, like, yeah. There's at no way point, he can be wearing number 10 for the Niners next year. I mean, like, it's just
not. So and all love to Jimmy. You know what I mean? It's not like at all. Like, yeah, yeah. It's not. It's yeah, just.
I do want to give him his. I do want to give him his. His flowers, because even though like a lot of times, and you know, I've said it here, we've said it on the podcast, I've said it a lot of times on the podcast, I was one of the first to just always like you know, not blame him, but kind of give him a lot of shit for a lot of the, you know, the shit he was doing.
Did a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah exactly. And
there's a lot of the same on the time, line, right?
Huh,
there's a lot on the line, dude. Like, what the
oh fuck, yeah yeah. Right. So, you know, at the end of the, like, you know, one, like, if this is the end of the gym, well, it looks like it's the end of the Jimmy. Right. Yeah,
you're right. It's not official yet, but yes.
Yeah, it should be the end of the Jimmy run. Like, damn, thanks. Like, because he did, you know, even though he did do a lot of bullshit, there was also great moments, a lot of great moments from him. Or good moments, not great. Right?
He inherited the team that was dog shit.
I think we can end on this, like, Jimmy's run was more unexpected, and yeah. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Lower ceiling. Mm-hmm. So I think let's move on to the next topic,
sure.
Which is
sure. My bad, I didn't.
You know, that was good. That was an engaging. That was engaging. And I appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners will too. I mean,
that's what happens when we push off the recording, right? This shit's pent up, fucking like, yo, I need to get this out.
You know exactly. So. But I'm gonna blur my topic now because I know all three of us are gonna have a conversation about it. I mean, just I want to vent about the Lakers.
Let's go.
Okay. Great. So you know, we might have to record again. I mean, like what I'm witnessing now, and what a lot of fans are witnessing. Mike, I don't know how many games you've watched recently. It's not a great time to be a Laker fan. I mean,
that look, the other night was horrible.
Look, and this is coming off, and I will say this. Let me start by saying this. I realize that we are coming off of a championship 2 years ago. We have a franchise we won in 2010, and then before that in 2009. We are constantly in the playoffs, and this franchise has been incredibly successful since I have started rooting for it. Hell, since 2000, you know, like, 22 years, we've had an amazing run of success, and I'm very appreciative of that. But this current crop of dudes wearing Laker uniforms, it's almost unacceptable what we're witnessing and the responses that we're getting from the players after fans express their frustration, right? And I will say that LeBron has earned the right to, you know, talk some shit on the court, say what he wants. He won a championship in 2020, whether that you call it a bubble ship or not. Everybody had the same break. Everybody went to Orlando. We came out on top. So that's how that works. But when Russell Westbrook, a guy who's played piss poor all season long, right, and all his teammates have backed him up, the fans have, you know, been okay, you know, but and maybe this is an overreaction on my part, when he's like, oh, if you don't like booing, you know, like, how do you feel about booing? And he's like, oh, they can just shut up or go home. And it's like, look, man, better people than you have been booed, and their responses have been better. And I was just I understand if you have a tough season, like, shit, man, basketball is hard. maybe this isn't our year. Like, fuck it. Like I'm saying, as a fan, like, we just won 2 years ago. Like, there's an insane amount of pressure on the Lakers every single year, all the time, always, like an insane amount. There is no pressure like being an LA Laker. And, you know, granted, we kind of put ourselves into it, right, when we get LeBron. And then we kind of do the LeBron thing. We all know how that goes. And that can be another conversation. I don't know what Eric's going to bring up. But, you know, but like, it's getting to the point where it's getting a little embarrassing. And I think we have to trade Westbrook in the offseason, me personally, you know, and
me too.
I'm glad we got rid of DJ because he was useless, but not like he's part of the problem, right? He's part of the problem on the court. But like, we have clashing personalities with Anthony Davis out. And I think Westbrook is just not that dude. And we put
with us as fans, though, too. Though, you just said it yourself, we got to trade Westbrook. Why do we got to trade Westbrook? Because we traded for him to begin with, bro. Like, we got to stop. Like, this is one thing that we got to, like, that's where I do understand. Look, this is what I'll say about your, and I completely feel you, dude, because I feel somewhat the same. The one thing I'll tell you this is I feel that I wouldn't put necessarily those rules like that. It's either you give LeBron and Westbrook a pass or you give none of them a pass. I honestly feel, as far as suspending, I think these guys are they are where they are because they take everything personally and they defend themselves whenever they feel attacked. At the same time, boo the motherfucker if you think he should know, you know. So, and look, to me, I like what you said about the it's almost embarrassing. It's only because you're such a fan, you feel like you don't want to, you know, you don't want to say some shit that you want to regret, right? But it's where it is embarrassing. It isn't. We've seen shitty teams.
Yeah, we've seen
shitty Laker teams.
We've seen shitty Laker teams. We watched Robert Sacre play. I mean, like, he literally played.
We're not being
Laker fans. Started games, dog. He started games.
We're not being entitled Laker fans.
Ryan Kelly started games. You know, like,
exactly. We're not being entitled. Then we're like, we can't see shitty fucking teams. What we don't and we should never accept is effortless basketball. That's
prideless.
We're like, you know, I'm not going to go into, I was about to, but I'm just going to cut myself. I'm sorry. I can't do it again, but I was about to go into my Dwight Howard story again. It's first time. I like, you got to have pride in look. And that's how I am. Look, fanatic. I'm a clown when it comes to how much I like my teams. I think that's most of us that are fanatics, right? But to me, it's one of the biggest things that we have, I think, in common as fans is we tend to think there's something for our team, right? There's something about our team, right? So there's something like, we assume our players have a pride once they put on those colors, right? Whatever team we're rooting for, whoever the fuck we're going hard for. And I mean, I know we're cocky as Laker fans, but it isn't just because we won a lot. It's just because that's why fans are going to boo guys like that, because we do expect more. And I know it's easy to assume Laker or look, LA fans in general, right? That's kind of the knock we get. People are probably, when you hear this probably from other places, you're assuming we're just being guys that don't appreciate shit, right? Like, if you're imagining you're a guy from one of these cities that has won shit forever, they're like, oh, these guys can't appreciate LeBron and all these guys that they have. They're getting the wrong side because they're assuming that's LA fans. And it isn't. It isn't just the fact that, because it isn't the game going fans that have money to go to Laker fans. It's us watching on TV, or it's us
exactly
following the team. What the frustration simply is, that's not the effort that Lakers play with. And what sucks about it more is especially expensive ones. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, expensive Lakers,
yeah,
at the very minimum, expensive Lakers have effort, right? Like, I mean, they can suck. That's the problem when you sign the wrong guys, right? But no effort is just not a thing that and unfortunately, this is the kind of shit that's gonna get my dude fucked. Unfortunately, this is the kind of shit that's going to get my dude Frank Vogel for sure shit canned, because he's the
100%.
He's the scapegoat. He's the scapegoat. Like, it's going to be easy to be like, oh, he couldn't get these guys to fucking not get emotional and cry themselves to fucking sleep because people are booing them because they suck balls. You know what I mean? That's going to not go on him. That's going to go on him. Unfortunately, that's going to go on him. To me, it's one of those things where you're like, look, I'm all down for just keeping the two guys or whatever the fuck, whoever you need to keep, and getting rid of everybody else. Who knows what the hell you got to do to like you said, we got to trade guys. We got to do this. We got to do that. Westbrook gets paid a shitload of money. I understand why that makes sense. You know what I mean? To move that contract or if you can. But the thing is, like, if some of the main guys on the team are not bringing the effort, we're fucked. You know, and that's what I think is happening. Sometimes
for sure. And that's kind of what I'm talking about.
The guys that we don't expect be having these efforts are the ones. And that's where we're like, oh, we're doomed. Then we're fucking doomed. When you have us as fans, you know, I always tell you, I hate doing math, Brandon. And I don't mean, obviously, as a simple man. I mean, like, as a fan, when you got to do math the whole time, every Laker game, as soon as the first quarter starts, I'm already doing, let's hope we keep it within 7. Let's hope we keep it within 8. Then never mind. Let's hope we don't go down by 13. And then in the halftime, you're like, as long as we're within 20, we got a chance. And then now as the season going on, we're saying, look, man, we're only 4 games down behind 8th seed. We're only this. We're only the 9th seed. You know, look, there's still a chance. There's 20-plus games left. There's this and that. And then we see those efforts, and you're like, what the fuck are we doing all of this for then?
I mean, when it comes to basketball personalities on the court, all I'm saying is that when we have to trade Westbrook is that he does not fit a team with LeBron. It's just evident on the court. Like, there is no mesh. Like, LeBron needs open spacing and a dominant big and shooters that can knock down shots, right? Westbrook doesn't do any of that. Like, he just doesn't. Like, he can't make an open shot. He's a driving kick specialist, and now he can't even finish at the rim as well as he used to. And it's like,
wanted him on the team, though, bro.
I know, dude.
There, like, he didn't want him there.
Dog, and we questioned this move at the beginning. So it's just like,
yeah, we did.
And we all did. And it's just like, okay, when here we are looking at it, like, shit, it's not working basketball wise. We are seeing some awesome things, like Malik Monk is balling. Like, that's dope. But like, then we're looking at, like, don't you think we could have used a guy like fucking Kyle Kuzma? Like, right now, like, it would have been nice to have a guy like him. And it's unfortunate that, like, it really would have been nice to have a guy like Lonzo. So, and I even heard it on Simmons' podcast, like, and maybe this is true. And, you know, like, I hope it's not, but it's like, did we need to include him? Like, looking at all the trades that have happened, like, did we offer the farm? And granted, it worked immediately because we won a chip. So it's like, I know it's at the end of the world, right? Like, we won recently. But, you know, we're also starting to see, like, what is life after LeBron? Is this a fragile as fuck Anthony Davis? And it better not be Westbrook. And maybe all of a sudden with LeBron gone, Westbrook is like the stud. But it's like, he's given us zero evidence of that. And LeBron is so, even at this age, he's still pretty sturdy. And he plays a lot of games, even though he missed a good chunk. But, like, he's playing his ass off right now. And I don't know.
I was going to say, he's been balling.
Dude,
been
balling.
LeBron's not the problem, but I know it sucks to say, look.
Well, I mean, he kind of is the problem, but he's not the problem on the court.
He's the problem as far as why Westbrook's on the team, right?
Yeah.
But what I mean is, look, LeBron gets all the props when he gets them, and he should get criticized when he should, right? Because at the same time, you get all the props, but you're also being passive aggressive. Because
he's the specialist at that shit, dude. Like, come on.
You know what? You hear reports. All this shit, that's Team LeBron leaking all the shit about Westbrook when the fools are fucking eating lunch with each other. Why don't you just fucking look across from the fucking table and say, yo, bro, this is how I fucking feel.
Can you just not shoot 15 times?
You know how I told you, I know I always get defensive with my dude Frank Vogel, but I feel like, oh, Frank Vogel can't get to Westbrook. You know who should get to Westbrook? LeBron. LeBron James should be able to go, yo, bro, you ain't fucking cutting it. You need to sit the fuck down for a while. That's just the way it's going to work for a little bit, or whatever the fuck needs to happen. Or, hey, bring it, because you're not fucking bringing it. And you get paid a fuck buckload on this team. And we don't have that. Like, just like I told you guys, we were talking in the last podcast about, well, we can't afford losing it. And look, and there goes AD getting hurt right after that podcast we recorded. The whole point is, this is not that team. This team is set up to, AD and LeBron need to ball the fuck out. That's the only way we have a chance. And definitely only LeBron. Way. And if we're going to keep Westbrook, he needs to be bringing something to the table. I'm a Westbrook guy. It's not like I'm shitting on him. What I'm saying is, your game's not it right now. And that's just the facts. So it doesn't matter whether if it's an effort thing, that's great, because you just got to bring the effort to get there. But unfortunately, what we're more scared of, that it might not just be that. It might be more than that. It might be just your game in general, or it might be where your game's at in general at the moment.
whatever the fuck the problem is, like I say, you know, I said passive aggressive LeBron, he could make it easy on all of us if he's the motherfucker that says, bro, you guys can move. But he's not going to do that ever, because why would he put himself out like that? But at the same time, if we're going to give him props for the moves he makes, we all know he makes all moves, or at least they get run by him at the very minimum. So,
yeah,
he's got to say, yo, I fucked up. Or he could at least tell his homie, this wasn't just like you, Brandon, because you worded it way nicer than I did. You said, you know what, this team just isn't food. So, look, don't even tell him your game isn't it. You're right. Don't say nothing. Just say, where we're at right now just doesn't fit your game. You'll be probably better suited, you know what I mean, going somewhere else and being able to do your thing where someone lets you do your thing. Like, pitch it that way. Whatever the fuck you got to do, that's your home. But at the same time, he's there because of you, dog. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And you're the king. You're the guy who we talk about. You're the guy that runs the game. You're the guy who all the adverts go to, wherever we're talking all-star game, whatever we're talking about, we're running shit through LeBron, whatever. That's and well, rightfully so.
Well, right,
so like, you hold way more weight than anybody else. You get what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think he's going to find his way to like the Knicks in the offseason or some shit like that. Like, he's going to be comfortable and we'll find a way. But like,
we're the ninth seed right now. And are we going to go to the playoffs or not? That's, and it looks more like,
I don't know, man. We fucking suck, dude. We're just like, this team sucks and it's not fun. I know we have 2 minutes left in the Zoom. So, we'll start a new one so Eric can bring up this topic. I don't have much time because I do have to go take care of this newborn at some point before my wife yells at me a little. I don't think she's going to yell at me. She's been very, very generous about being literary report. But I do want to hear what Eric has to say. But yeah, we suck, man. Like, and I'm even surprised. Like, this playing tournament's like saving our ass. And I know LeBron talked shit about it because we had to do it. And it's like, oh, now it's like literally the only reason we're relevant. But like the team that is the 10 seed, just beat us. The team that's the 8 seed just beat us. Actually, the team that's the 10 seed, yep, just fucking obliterated us. They didn't beat us. The Pelicans beat the fucking shit out of us. Like, it was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning. Genie bus bounce. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on here. There's like a funk on this team right now.
Well, see, and that's the whole, but the issue isn't
it's
that
weird.
The issue isn't that,
at least on the court. At least on the court, man. I don't know. On the court, it looks terrible.
I agree with you, but to me, the issue isn't where our seeding is necessarily. It's that we're not showing our that team. We can be. Look, exactly. We would have been fine saying we're the 8th seed if we knew we had the team that could get it done. The thing is, this team, like you said, is they're getting their ass kicked by shitty teams. So it isn't like, can we get there? And we know we got the kind of team that once we're in, we're going to kick ass. And even though that can happen with, you know, LeBron James in the playoffs, anything could happen, right? But at the same time, we're showing you that even if we get in, we're going to get fucking bounced. Yep.
No, for
you know
sure.
What I mean? Like, straight up.
It ain't going to be pretty. All right. So I'm gonna stop it here and then we will meet up again in like just a couple of minutes. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Now, I appreciate everybody listening to my Lakers rant, and I'm sure a lot of people have the same rant. I'm very curious to hear what Eric has to go for. So, Eric, what you got, man?
Yo, so my rant, so I'm going to go ahead and take it to boxing. This last weekend on Saturday, we had a fight between Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall. It was in Scotland, where Josh Taylor is from. And it was one of these cards that you hear, unfortunately, way too many times. You start hearing from, you know, people that watch the fight that you're like, yo, there was a huge robbery in the fight, right? Like, the guy that won the fight didn't get the win when it went to the judges. So, I agree. I'm definitely on that side of things that I feel the wrong guy won. But the reason why I'm going to go on my rant is because I see things from two sides of this, like a lot of things. But one of the main things is you hear the old adage, in order to beat the champ, you really got to take it from the champ, right? So you can't kind of go in there with a 50-50. You're going to lose that every time against a champ. And like I told you, this fight was Josh Taylor's from Scotland. The fight was in Scotland. He's the champion. He's the undisputed champion, means there you can't dispute the shit. You know what I mean? He's the motherfucker and he's in his hometown. He has all the advantages. You're going there. You're already going up against all that. On top of that, you shouldn't be expected to do anything more than just win the fucking fight. You know what I mean? And I think in this situation, this is one of those fights where obviously the champion got given all the benefit of the doubt, and so much so that it obviously seems a little shady as opposed to just dumb. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can excuse stupid, but shady just seems worse. But the reason why I was telling you I could see it by, I do always see it in this situation by, you know, both sides of kind of the situation is, I agree with people outraged that the shit was a robbery. I also agree with the people saying it shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't have to do more than just win. If you won 7 rounds and he won 5, you win the fight. It is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, there's no other, there shouldn't be anything else to it. You should just be able to win that way. You shouldn't have to win an extra round simply because you're going up against a champion. But that being said, shouldn't is one thing. What it actually is another. And I think most of us understand, whether we don't like it or not, that's pretty much how boxing works. And if I'm on this team of the guy that's trying to take the belt from the champion, I know it's easy, again, to criticize, especially boxers, while I'm sitting on the fucking couch talking shit.
Come on now.
But at the same time, you're going for a championship. I think your corner, whoever, has to tell you, it doesn't matter what should. What the fact is, you do need to win 8 instead of 7 rounds at least. And at least, because these guys are going to want to be looking for every reason to give him the round instead of you. That's just the way this is going to work. And if you're not ready for that, you're not ready to go on the road. That's just a fact. You know what I mean? Or you're not ready to go up against a champion, or you're not ready to go against a house fighter who's got the promotional benefits, and they pay the referee. They do all the things that you need to do to get shit the right way. You get what I mean? So to me, you're already going up against all that shit. Again, going back to the same shit, you're already going up against all that shit. The guy should just have to get the dub and bounce. But again, the facts are that they're not that way. And the reason why I'm telling you I'm seeing it by both sides is Cattaro won the fight in my scorecard for sure. There was point deductions. There was a knockdown. He knocked down Taylor for the first time in his career. So there was reasons why, to me, that like the math just couldn't make sense, you know, in the way some of these judges, so one of these judges definitely had it to where it's impossible. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way Josh won that many rounds and he still got a point deducted. How the fuck did you get there, right? That was bad. But I agree with those people, but the facts are that's not the case. And if I would keep it real with myself, even though he won enough rounds to win the fight, Cattaro kind of, I wouldn't want to say coasted, because it's easy for me to criticize somebody that's in the ring getting punched, for me to say he coasted in the last rounds, but he kind of did, you know what I mean? But again, even with that, he had done enough to win the fight. And the reason why I'm telling you I would see both sides of it is, if I'm on his team, you can't allow that to happen, because shit like this happens when you do that. You know, so my rant is basically main on the fact that I agree that it's bullshit. You shouldn't have to do more than just simply beat the guy. But fuck, dude. You know, at the same time, you know that's the case. Until shit gets corrected, until shit changes, you can't go in there as a challenger and think, I won enough rounds, now I kind of just need to make sure I stay on my feet for the rest of this fight. You know what I mean? And obviously he did a little bit more than that, but what I mean is he did lose some of those rounds kind of clearly going away. And just like I told you guys earlier, when they're trying to give the champion every excuse to give him the fight or the benefit of the doubt, if he was able to have a couple nice rounds to finish a fight, to some of these judges, that's more than fucking enough. And that's where my issue is. I agree with fuck that. That's bullshit. That's not how boxing should work. But that being said, that is how boxing works. So if you're on the team of the guy that's trying to beat the champion, you know what you're going up against. First of all, you already know what you're going up against when you're going on the road. You should be definitely knowing that goes times 10 when you're going against the unified fucking undisputed champion in his hometown. You know what I mean? So the rant is, everybody needs to just fucking understand that's the way it goes. The guys that are upset and the people that are happy. Until shit changes, it just fucking is. It's unfortunate. And it sucks because it turns people off, right? Like, you know, Brandon, you turn in once in a while. You're not a guy that watches all the fights, but you know, you usually ask, does this matter? That would have been a fight that would have said, maybe this fight necessarily isn't something that I'm too interested in, but Josh Taylor is definitely one of the players. Obviously, he's undisputed.
Right.
But I would understand if you saw that fight and said, what the fuck are you telling me to watch this shit for? This is bullshit. They didn't even give the right guy the fucking fight. No, you get what I mean?
No, it happens more often than it should, especially in a sport that's prestigious as boxing.
In a sport where you get to dictate who you get to fight and what you do, already got people. It's already iffy enough to where, you know, it's not like in all the sports you follow, there's a schedule. So you kind of know that it doesn't matter whether you want to or not. You got that team coming up that one week and you're either ready or you're not. In boxing, there's ways that you can kind of get through stuff at a certain time. And then when you add on top of that, scoring decisions like this, where, you know what I mean? You're just like, well, that fucker had no chance. You know what I mean? At that point, you're like, well, why did he even show up? You know what I mean? Or he should have shown up, taking a knee on the first round and just say, fuck it, that's enough. Give me my money and let me get the fuck on home. If you know, you know what I mean? If you know you have no fucking chance in hell. It's almost like these guys should just be happy the fact that they got a chance at the belts to begin with and just go home. That's kind of how they want them to react. And just my bad, the reason why to make it a little longer, the reason why the rant was bullshit is that dude, Jack Catterall, that lost the fight, the reason why Josh Taylor was undisputed is because Jack Catterall agreed to step aside to let Josh Taylor fight Jose Ramirez for a chance to become undisputed, because it's like, that's important, right? If we get an opportunity to just go ahead and have one guy get all the belts, he should have that chance. So he stepped aside. He basically dicked around forever waiting for this fool to get through that fight and all the other shit for them to be able to reschedule it and finally get a crack at it. And this shit happens to him. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy that's been fucking waiting his whole life for this opportunity. And the reason why this shit sucks on top of it, like I told you, that it's like, you shouldn't have to read more than what's necessary. You shouldn't have to do more than that. On top of that, yeah, there could be a rematch. This fool could get another crack at it, but you shouldn't have to. All he needed to do was show up that night, and he did. And he wasn't rewarded for that. You shouldn't be like, well, you can do it again if you really deserve to win it. What the fuck? Hell no. Maybe that was just the best performance he was ever going to have in his fucking life. Right. No, that's the way it works. Yep. That's what we love. That's what we love playoffs in America, right? You, the best team could get bounced if they weren't ready. You know what I mean? Especially in the single elimination games, like in the NFL. So that's what I mean. It's like, this guy didn't have to beat this guy three times to become the undisputed champion. All he needed to do was do it that night. And he fucking did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he wasn't rewarded for it because these judges are on some bullshit.
Yeah, we've talked about that, like, kind of stuff in the past where, like, it's either the judges that kind of screws up and it's like you said, look, man, in a 12-round fight, all you need to do is win 7 rounds. Like, I mean, look, and like you're saying, if you need to win 7, then you probably want to win 8 because just in case a judge sees it,
exactly. You know,
because look, in a fight of 12 rounds, there's going to be some rounds that are really close. Like we've been in a room with like 10 people and you can ask, sometimes it's like, you know, 6-4. We're like, how did you see that round that way? And it's the same question for you. So, but usually they're not so outrageous like some of these judges, man. And it's like, and then it begs the question of like, what else is happening that's making these judges make these asinine calls? Because you have the Tim Donaghy, he's still, you know, like, obviously, and that's the common stuff that has been, you know, out there. But like, you know, there's the shit obviously going on. Like,
if they had to answer for these scorecards, like if at the end they said, yo, you on that bullshit scorecard, we all know that was bunk. How did you get there? So, I don't know, press conference or something. Make the fool answer some questions.
Yeah.
Oh, because the guys in the ring that just got punched in the fucking face, once you get knocked the fuck out, they like throw a mic in your fucking face. Well, why'd you get punched out like that? When they expect this fool to have some sort of, you know, normal, a real good answer and shit when he was just getting punched in the fucking dome for like 12 rounds. And then these judges that are sitting on their fucking ass watching the fucking fight don't have to answer to what the fuck, like, you know what I mean? Like this bullshit that they, at the same time, well, I forgot, I don't want to say the card because I forgot which one it was, but then recently they did go ahead and bring a judge to go ahead and go over what he saw. Kind of like picture doing like a play-by-play when he was replaying, you know, a controversial call that he made during the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you see that, you're like, well, that's why you don't do it, because these guys are dumb as fuck. Like they just,
You couldn't. I mean, he wasn't going to see what he wasn't going to admit his mistake. You get what I mean? You're showing him the video. It was one of those moments. You're showing him the video live at that moment, and he's answering some other question because he can't answer that one because he knows the answer to that one is, yes, I fucked up. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of shit that does happen. So I get it. It's not necessarily an easy fix, but at the same time, you know, it makes it hard for the people that are looking for an excuse to either, I don't want to watch that much anymore. This shit's turning me off. And then the more you see shit like this, you're like, yo, what the fuck's the point? You know what I mean? Like,
no,
it's just bullshit.
It's depressing, man. Like, especially when it's like a box, like a sport that's so pure and, or what could be, right? Where it's like very even odd. Like everything is very even when it comes to boxing. Like it's very, you know, like you have the same, you know, you can't kickbox, you know, you don't have, you know, MMA, you have different styles and shit like that, you know, so you can really, you know, counteract somebody. Here it's just like you have two hands, you have arms, and you can block punches and throw punches, and it's like, and you can move, you have this, everything is very similar, the same, you know, like, so it's sad that it's come to this where it's like it's so unregulated, and there's so many complaints among the fans. Like the best boxer in the world, like people who are not even the best boxers in the world are making a shitload of money. And where like really, really awesome boxers are like fighting for scraps. I think you know who I'm talking about. I don't have to mention his name, but you know, he's the idiot, bro.
But at the same time, but like you said, even if you're not getting the money, fuck it. We don't like that at all, but you can get over that, and maybe you can't. But the main thing is, you're at least assuming that you have a chance to win the fight if you want it. You shouldn't be expecting to be like, I lost no matter what I do here. Unless I knock him out, I'm losing this fucking fight because no one's going to give me any benefit of the doubt in any of these rounds. You know, that's when it becomes like a fucking choke, right? And that's what you're trying to avoid, where you're like, come on, dude. It's like, well, how can I tell you? Like, imagine what's watching. It's harder. Look, that's why you don't compare. You shouldn't. And I'm just not even going to try, because you can't compare this to any other sport. I mean, imagine if football, you have to, at the end of the game, there wasn't a scoreboard. Which team did you think won? You know what I mean? Like, imagine that's how games worked out. Like, fuck keeping points. It's just like, at the end of the day, you're thinking you saw what you saw, and I'm thinking I saw what I saw. You get to choose who won the game. What the fuck? You know what I mean? And obviously that's not how boxing works, because you're supposed to be keeping score, right? But at the same time, if your scorekeeping is trash, what the fuck's the point? You know what I mean? If you basically, the scorecard's filled out. They've already given seven rounds to the champion. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's like, you need to make sure that you do enough to get that fucking judge to go in there and white out some shit and say, fuck, I guess I have to give you the fucking eight rounds or so. You know what I mean? Because you did that much. And that's just completely unfair, because you're fighting the champion. So he's already good. You know what I mean? So shit, you still have to deal with the judges on top of that. And you're on the road. It's just tough for the dude. And then he has to go back and be like, cause you know how it works with the record books. Are going to be what the record books are later on. Who gives a fuck? If it was a robbery, bro, you took that. Oh, that's the way it's going to go down. You know what I mean? And it's going to look down like you didn't show up for your biggest opportunity when he did. He just wasn't rewarded again, you know. But just like I told you, then if I was in his corner, I would, even though, again, I'm just being a jack criticizing from the outside, I would be trying to make that point, like, bro, you know, they're not going to give you this fight unless you close out at least or do whatever. You know what I mean? I would have tried to be pushed a little bit more to let them know they're going to not give you this fight just simply because you want it. You need to do even more than that. You know what I mean? And again, this is why I try to tell you the point here isn't whether it's fair or not. That's just a fact. You know, so
yeah, and
that sucks for Jack Hederl.
Mike, do you have any final thoughts before we head out of here, man?
I just was going to bring up, and I think you mentioned it just a second ago here, about the, you saw that comment about adding judges.
Oh no, I didn't. What?
Oh, that was lay down boy, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, he said that. Oh God.
He said like, oh, they. He is just like, he just, you know, they just posted some shit he said where he said there should be six judges. Basically, it's like
But I wouldn't go too far and say he's a jackass, even though, because that sounds crazy, because it's so
six out is of a the, little much. I don't mind having a couple.
He was saying that it should be six and it should be pairs of two, right, Mike? That's what he was
saying. Right. Yeah, yeah. And then they both basically, it's like, let's say it's you and Eric, right? One pair of the judges, but both of you have to agree. Like, you can't one say, hey, yeah. I think
Taylor. So we won, both score the round, and then yeah, we have to convince each other why it's right.
That's not a bad idea.
You know how you said, even when when we're watching fights, we're drinking and we're doing a bunch of other shit while we're watching the fights, right? But at the same time, even when we're watching the fights, you can see yourself in a conversation saying, you're right, maybe I wasn't paying too much to that part of it. Or maybe this, or you're at least looking at that for the next round.
Maybe or whatever he did block that punch, right? Like, yeah, maybe exactly. For sure. Yeah, you had an excellent
point. Or even a simple reminder, like,
fuck you, Jake Paul. God damn it.
Or even a simple reminder of, like, remember that he actually in the first minute of the fight was getting fucking bombed on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely destroyed.
All it was 3 9 shots to end the round for this guy. You get what I mean? So
yeah,
those little conversations. But at the same time, I'm definitely not gonna go as far and say he's got a good idea there. But I also won't necessarily completely shit on it, because who knows, right? It's so, because what I described, which is the current state in boxing, isn't right either, right? Like, they shouldn't be able to fuck it up that badly in a title.
That's the reason I brought that up, Eric. When you were just talking about, I'm like, oh shit, that's where we're going. I'm like, all right, cool, because I did want to bring that point up as well. Like,
because he even mentioned those rules would be specific for a title fight, because too much. Look, winning a fight against a popular money fighter, of course, changes your life, but winning a belt in the simplest forms is the best way to make sure your pay is going to go up. You get what I mean? Like, these are life-changing situations for these guys. And this guy wasn't going to win a belt. He was going to win all of them. You get what the fuck I'm telling you?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's tough,
Look
man.
At it like, if you wanted to, he could pawn them off one by one. You know what I mean? Get paid for each one from each guy. Who he wants a crack? I'll give you a crack. Obviously, that's not how it works. But you get what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. He's at that level. That would be where he would be at. And, no, you know, champion gets to keep all four belts. Yeah. You know, it sucks. It fucking sucks.
Well, I hate to end the podcast on a pressing note like that, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Wait, because life is sometimes. What's up? I'm not. Never mind. I'm not. JK.
What you watching?
Oh, shit. Good memory. Okay, good. Okay, because that was depressing as shit. All right. Okay, since you brought it up, Mike, what are you watching, bro?
Right now, I'm watching Power, and I'm watching Snowfall. Snowfall just came back. Power,
what is Snowfall on?
Snowfall is on FX.
Okay. And obviously, I know Power is, you know, pretty recognized. Snowfall, yeah. Pretty dope?
Yeah, Snowfall's dope. I fuck with Snowfall. Yeah, I like Snowfall.
Okay. How about you, E? What's up?
As far as what I'm watching, my wife and I recently started The Big Bang Theory again, just to watch them all. Like, it's what I tell you. It sucks when
you're guilty when you pleasure have
different
or what?
Tastes. Well, no, when you have different tastes, sometimes it's almost like you're either gonna watch something someone really likes, the other one kind of hates, or you're both gonna agree to just like watch something you kind of, you know, you just like, you don't necessarily love that much, but at least okay. You both can deal. So that's one of those shows. But one thing we definitely both saw that was good. Because you know I'm that guy that was king, like, not anything for these superhero movies or whatever the fuck kind of movies, kind of like weird sci-fi-ish kind of movies. We saw Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Honestly, I thought it was actually older. Just for some reason, I thought it was one of those movies that I probably missed, and it was a little bit, maybe like 2016 or something.
Interesting. 15. Okay.
And I didn't know. It was like, holy shit, this was just out last year.
Or yeah, brand new.
Not, it was dope, though, man. You should check it out then. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely tell you you should. It's fucking dope. We both enjoyed it. I mean, just like I told you, it's hard for us to both to agree on shits and signs, but that right, one right. We saw it was dope as fuck. I think he can be really good sometimes in movies, and sometimes I could understand why some people are just like, oh, I had enough of that food. But he was dope. It was great. I enjoyed the movie a lot. I would definitely recommend it. And if I know, you know, I don't follow these storylines like that, but if I knew there was going to be a part two, I would definitely be looking forward to it. So I hope this is one of those movies that there's going to be more than this one, because it was dope. It was really dope.
Definitely want to see it. It's on my watch list. I mean, you know, since I'm on paternity now, like I got a few more weeks off, I can, I'm going to dive into some more shows. I've been, I got a new phone and it came with Apple TV Plus for 3 months. And so I started watching Severance, which is with Adam Scott. And it's with this, because if I say the title, it's such a new show that nobody knows what the hell it is. It's about a dude who works for a company called Lumen, I guess. And it's like, long story short, is the company wants you to have a procedure called to sever your conscious mind from your work personality to your life personality. So,
like, you plug it. I've seen the fucking previews of that. That's dope. You saw it already? You're checking that out?
Yeah.
How many episodes? Three episodes.
Only been three episodes. It comes out on Friday. So, the last episode three just came out this past Friday. So, today's Monday, right? So, essentially, the premise is, let's say I'm an employee and I get that procedure. I go to this certain floor. I go down to the basement. And as soon as the elevator drops down, my personality, I become my work personality. I forget who I was as soon as if I had kids, I don't remember. If I was married, if I had my wife, it was alive or dead, I don't remember. And I just work at what I do, whatever I do at my job. And then when I go back up the elevator, the other personality has no idea what the other person does over there. So a lot of weird things are happening, which is a very, it's such a good show.
That should have
come. It's, Adam McKay, it's fucking dope.
So
I like
the fact that he's,
And Ben Stiller.
I have Apple TV too, so that's why I've been seeing all those fucking
previews. So check it out. And also I started watching The Morning Show with my wife. And The Morning Show, we've watched, I think, four episodes, and it's taken some turns. Like, it's really tough to predict where it's going to go. So it's not Severance is really right up my alley, like weird fucking shit. Like, you know, like, fuck yeah, like, this is weird. A Morning Show is kind of, you know, more like Star Power, but it's heavy on the Me Too movement, but it's dope. Like, it's, if you have,
but you Apple know what
TV,
I like,
not a lot of people have Apple TV Plus, so I wanted to go a little bit more into the shows.
That's good that you're watching, because one thing that I would say that interested me in the movie a lot is, look, even describing, we're definitely not doing any justice to describing how dope the show looked, because I've seen the previews, and obviously you've seen the show, so you not only look, so you're feeling like the show is dope like that. The reason why it looked dope is you could understand how someone can get that dope, because I think that was a dope little, you know, little concept, right? You can also see how that can be done in a very cheesy, lame-ass way. You know, and the fact that it's Adam McKay and then the actors that they got and all the other people that are involved and, you know, like you said, Ben Stiller, all that other stuff that they add to it made it seem like, holy shit, this is something that seems pretty funny and silly, but that could definitely be dope. You know what I mean? And could definitely work. You get what I mean? So I'm definitely going to check that out, because I've been seeing those previews over and over, and I'm glad I... You saw it. So that's the point of this whole segment.
Yep, Severance is dope. And then speaking of Adam McKay, I don't know if you guys watched Don't Look Up, but I definitely enjoyed Don't Look Up. That was a lot of fun to watch. A little bit stressful, like, it's weird.
But I didn't pay too much of it. My wife was watching it, so I was like checking in. You know, when you're watching while someone else is watching.
I know I saw
a good amount of the movie, and I definitely get what the movie is about, so it was dope. So it wasn't like I was like, oh, it wasn't worth my time.
No, for sure.
But I haven't seen the whole thing. Watch Batman?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck hell yeah, I'm gonna watch fucking Batman. Like, I didn't watch Spider-Man in the theater, so I don't know if I watched Batman in the theater. So it's one of those things I was like, you know, do I want to weigh the risk of going to the, you know, especially like when my kid doesn't get shots until she's 3 months, so it's like I got a toddler who's going to get a cold in 2 weeks, I'm sure. Like, you know how it goes, man. Like, hopefully not. Like, hopefully he's starting to become a fucking tank. I would love that. But, like, so we'll see. I would love if, you know, but also if it comes on HBO Max, I'll have to, you know, because I kind of, you know, come and go with HBO. Like, I like HBO, but I don't use it enough to warrant a purchase, because I can watch all my shit on YouTube. So.
Just wait, and then it comes.
Well, literally, up. Like, even like, dude, I can watch Bill Maher Friday fucking night, like on YouTube. Like, it's already some dude in Indonesia already uploaded the episode. Like, I don't care. Like, thank you, bro. Like, sweet. Same thing with fucking John.
It'll be gone by tomorrow morning, but I need it just tonight.
Dude, yeah, for sure. And some hang around, and some, and then 2 weeks later, the account is completely gone. So, I just kind of I live and die with the tube, man.
I feel you there. But I did watch Spider-Man at the movie theater, so maybe I'll check this out too. Because
yeah, man. Hey. And then yeah, Doctor Strange 2 can be dope too. So a lot of fun stuff we can talk about down the road. But that's gonna do it for us. I want to thank everybody for hanging around. Good. I think this was a good episode. Topics all the way around, like kind of what we hit on. We hit football. We hit basketball. We hit boxing. Kind of our trifecta, our Illuminati. If you're our HOVA, our triangle. So thanks everybody for sticking around. Here we are in 2022. Like, we didn't know where this podcast would go. We still kind of don't, but we're just having fun doing it. And so we appreciate all the people along for the ride. Mike and Eric and I also appreciate it, as always, man. You know, we started this podcast. I was barely married. Now here I am with two kids and shit. So a lot of life has happened, but I'm happy this thing is still pretty consistent. So on that note, everybody have a wonderful evening, and I'll catch you all next time.
Ladies.
All right, peace.